Well, one of the most enduring symbols of Christmas is the star that led the wise man to the Christ child. It's a rather mysterious object due to the fact that the star moved. Some think it perhaps was a comet, but I don't think so, because the Magi were more than likely Persian astronomers, and the appearance of a comet would not generate the interest that this particular heavenly body generated to these men. My personal belief, and definitely not dogmatic on this, you have every right to disagree. Always give people the right to be wrong. My personal belief is that it was a supernaturally created heavenly body for this specific purpose. And you might think, well, why did the wise men respond to such an event like this? Well, I think the answer for us, at least possibly, is in the book of Numbers, chapter 24, verse 17. When the scripture says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Now, how did these wise men, no doubt from Persia, get that information about a special star for the king of the Jews, as the wise men asked, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Again, can't be dogmatic on this, but remember, Daniel was the chief of the magis, the chief of the magicians. Daniel chapter 5, verse 11 tells us that. And did Daniel communicate this passage and the possible meaning of it to his fellow magis and down through the ages? That communication was passed on from wise man to wise man in Babylon and Medo-Persia later on? Possibly yes. But whatever the source of the knowledge of these wise men were, the star indicated the arrival of the king of the Jews. In fact, what we read about the Savior's star in Matthew chapter 2 is the same as what the Savior's stars even today are to do. The same effect that star in Matthew 2 had upon the wise men should be the same effect we have here 20 centuries later on people. I want us to see this morning the Savior's star then, surrounding the birth of Jesus, and the Savior's star now, how we are to live in the same way that the star encouraged among the wise men. Notice in Matthew chapter 2, if you were here last night, you're like, oh my goodness, you're going to preach the same sermon? Nope, same passage, but different message. Isn't the Word of God great to do stuff like that? Last night we focused on Herod and the scribes and the wise men. This morning we're going to focus on the star and the effect the star had upon the wise men. In fact, there were three of them in Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 12. We'll not read the whole passage. We read it last night. But notice in verses 1 and 2, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Notice the first truth about the Savior's star in Matthew chapter 2. It proclaimed his coming. The wise men said, we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Secondly, notice in verse 9, after Herod's shenanigans, excuse me, verse 9 says, after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. This star led the way. Not in a general sense. It began by leading the way to Israel, but here it led the way of these wise men in a specific sense to where the child was. And notice thirdly, verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. The star produced great joy. So these three effects upon the wise men, it proclaimed his coming, it led the way, and it produced great joy, are the same three effects that we should have as the Savior's star. Why do I say that? Well, because the book of Philippians says that. Let me invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. And in this passage, the scripture calls us stars. I'm looking at a bunch of stars today. Wow! I feel so privileged. And as stars in the middle of a corrupt culture, we should have the same three effects that the star 2,000 years ago had. Notice, we'll see the Savior stars now. We saw the Savior star then. Let's notice the Savior star now. In verses 14 and 15, we see that now we can lead the way. Just like the star led the way to where the Christ child was, we can lead the way for people to discover the Savior. We lead the way by our distinctive lifestyle. Just like this star was different than any other star these astronomers had seen, so our lives are to be distinctive. Look at verse 14 of Philippians chapter 2. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Friends, we live in a culture of complaining, don't we? Everybody's got a complaint about something. They complain about their boss. They complain about their spouse. They complain about their kids. They complain even about their church. You know, I'm amazed how many times I hear Christian people complaining about their church in the presence of non-Christian people. And I think to myself, what are you doing? I mean, why would these unsaved people want what you've got if you're complaining about it all the time? Thank you, Charles. You almost prompted me to step aside and give myself an amen. Don't get sucked in with that culture of complaining. Live a distinctive lifestyle. Jeff Yorg, in his book, The Painful Side of Leadership, writes, a pastor called the Monday after Easter for counsel on a conflict that erupted between two women in his church just before the Easter morning worship service. One woman directed the choir. The other woman directed the Sunday school. Because the choir had a major Easter musical program to present, the director instructed choir members to leave their Sunday school classes 15 minutes early to prepare for the presentation. This wasn't a large church, so the exodus from the three adult classes was noticeable and distracting. The Sunday school director wasn't pleased, since the Sunday school had many guests that day. She erupted in anger, loudly confronting the choir director on the sanctuary platform just prior to the beginning of the worship service. It was a mess. The pastor was shocked, the choir devastated, and the Easter morning crowd astounded as these two women shouted at each other in front of everyone. The incident was a culmination of a long simmering conflict between these two women. The pressure of the Easter Sunday, both on the choir for its program and the Sunday school for the increased attendance, caused the conflict to become public. The timing could not have been worse. A large crowd went home that Easter Sunday with a special Easter memory, something never before seen in this church. Two out of control, middle-aged women having a verbal catfight. A distinctive lifestyle maintains a positive attitude, even when things don't necessarily go your way. Now, he shares the illustration about two women, but of course, men never do that, do we? No, obviously not. A distinctive lifestyle not only has a positive attitude, but a distinctive lifestyle is marked by pure actions. Look at verse 15. That you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. The NIV translates that last phrase, among whom you shine as stars in the sky. You're a star, Christian, because of your positive attitude and your pure actions. What do we say around here? Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Or one I haven't used in quite a while. You, yes, you are the best Christian somebody knows. Well, no, not little old me. Yeah, little old you. You might be the only Christian somebody knows, so that makes you the best Christian somebody knows. What is their picture? What is their take on Christianity by your lifestyle and my lifestyle? A distinctive lifestyle leads others to Jesus, marked by a positive attitude and pure actions. Now notice, secondly, the Savior stars now proclaim a life-giving message. Just like the star 2,000 years ago announced the coming of the King of the Jews, so we have the privilege of proclaiming a life-giving message to this dark world. Look at verse 16. Holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. The King James Version translates the beginning of that verse, holding forth the word of life. Now you hold forth what you hold fast. You're true to the scriptures and you proclaim the life-giving message that the scriptures reveal. But notice the order. Show Christ by your distinctive lifestyle, then you have the opportunity and the privilege, and you've earned the right to share Christ verbally with the people around you, whether they're family, friends, or neighbors. We are stars now because we share a life-giving message. Hey, we ought to be like an elevator operator in Nashville, Tennessee. Robert Morgan, a pastor of a church in the Nashville area, wrote this. He encountered an elevator operator that said, "I'm just a nobody telling everybody about somebody who can save anybody." That's pretty good, isn't it? Just like the star of Christmas led the way and announced Jesus coming, so we stars of Christmas now lead the way by our distinctive lifestyle and proclaim a life-giving message, the word of life. But finally, just like the star 2,000 years ago was a source of great joy, so we can be a source of great joy to ourselves and to others. Notice how that happens in verses 17 and 18. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. We are a source of great joy through our perseverance, folks. Remember, the Apostle Paul was imprisoned when he wrote these words. He was in Rome under house arrest. And he said, because of my situation, you can rejoice with great joy because you've seen my perseverance. And I can rejoice with great joy because of what I'm going through. Now, how can Paul rejoice being in prison and awaiting Nero's word as to whether he was to live or die? Paul could rejoice because he knew what was on the other side. In Philippians 1:21, what did he say? "For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain." And he said also in verse 23 of chapter 1, "I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." That's how Paul could rejoice. He knew what was on the other side. And then, in light of those facts, verse 18 says, He can encourage others in their joy. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. What do people feel when they look at your life? Do they feel discouragement because you're an Eeyore all the time? Oh, things are bad, but they're going to get worse. Yeah, things are bad. I had a phone call in my tri-state prayer line phone duty this last Tuesday. And the lady began saying, she called me Jerry. All through the call, Jerry this, Jerry. When she first called me Jerry, I said, it's not worth correcting her, and I'll let it go. But after 90 minutes, and that's what she talked to me for, 90 minutes, Jerry this, Jerry that, I wish I had corrected her to begin with. But anyway, she was saying, Jerry, I'm so lonely, and the world is such a mess. What's going to happen? How can we be encouraged? How can we say Merry Christmas when the world is such a mess? And she kept referring to Vladimir Putin and all the stuff going on in the Ukraine and all the mess even in our country. Finally, when I was able to get a word in edgewise, I said, Kathy, that's the problem is you're looking around you. You need to stop looking around and start looking up. I can be encouraged. I can say Merry Christmas because my hope is not in this world or the things of this world. My hope is in Jesus. And folks, that's our source of joy that we can communicate to others. Do we? Christian, you can be a star. Think about that. You can be a star today by showing others the way with your distinctive lifestyle. You have a positive attitude in the midst of a negative world. You have pure actions in the midst of a corrupt, decaying world. Your lifestyle is distinctive. You can be a star by sharing the life-giving message. You've showed it with your lifestyle. Now you've earned the right to share it. And finally, you can be a star by persevering through difficult times and be a source of joy with yourself and among others. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for these truths that you're communicating to us today. Lord, as we look around in this world, there's not a whole lot to be merry about this Christmas. But as we look up, as we look at you, we truly can have a merry Christmas. So Lord, I pray that everyone within the sound of my voice, those watching on live stream, those here in the worship center this morning, would be encouraged to be a star just like that star was 2,000 years ago, leading the way to Jesus, announcing the coming of Jesus, and being a source of joy. And God, that's only possible through your Holy Spirit, who gives us the want to and gives us the how to live lives that differently in our culture. And God, if we're coming up short If your Spirit is speaking to us even now about areas where we fall short, how quick we are to complain or trying to maintain a secret Christianity from our family or our friends or our co-workers, Lord, I pray that you would speak to each one of us now. Help us, Jesus, to be stars for you. I pray in your precious name. Amen.